and hiss.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, listeners.
Welcome back to I'm Horrified, and indeed, a very special episode of I'm Horrified.
Oh, welcome to I'm Horrified. My voice is so high because I'm so excited. I have been such a fan of this person in general as a human, and I'm also now a huge fan of this person's work. But Sam, who do we have today?
Today, we have a very special guest, a very wonderful author and friend. Please welcome to the podcast, Annie Cardi. Yay!
Thank you. Yay. Thanks so much for having me. This is delightful.
Thank you so much for being here. We're so excited to talk to you both about what you've been working on and then the horrible spiral it's put you on the internet.
And I believe that you may have heard us say a little something.
Yes.
On a podcast.
Oh, God. So, I can't even remember exactly what episode it was, but you brought this up, and I immediately emailed you, and I was like, you have to talk about this thing. Like,
yes,
it is
for millions combing the episodes for this, you know, find out which episode it was, but I may have mentioned a little something about a little duo named Girl Defined. Do we know who Girl Defined is, Sam? Have we dabbled?
I do know who Girl Defined is, and my reaction is boo and hiss. And also they feel like maybe like a crazy Twilight Zone version of you and I. Like if you and I had made some very different choices, very, very different choices.
The darkest timeline.
I'm sensing like that would be a really great, like sort of Patreon level. Like you give us $20 a month and we will release the Girl Defined cut, and it's us and we're in the lighting and we have the modest tops.
Yes.
And the blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
And the minimal Scandi background.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm getting too into it. And Annie, I really want to defer to you. So we are going to talk about Girl Defined, but we're going to back up a little bit first. Yeah. Annie, could you tell us why you're here today? Why?
Aside from being a super fan who emails you mid-episode.
I was so thrilled beyond measure that somebody had an expertise in this. And I don't know if you refer to it as an expertise. I believe that. I think that if you did research for this book, that's an expertise. That's research.
That is true. So I have my PhD in YouTube Christian influencer, I guess.
I would give you, if I was the president of a college, I would give you an honorary degree.
Oh, thank you.
I feel comfortable giving you one from Emerson, actually. I feel like I would probably do
right?
That.
Yeah. Just, you know, me surrounded by a bunch of smoking 20 somethings outside the little building.
Yeah. Like, it's not a great honor,
but it's one
I feel appropriate to bestow.
As two people with paid for degrees from Emerson College, we can say pretty clearly it's not that big of an honor, but.
But so you have a little bit of a professional history with Girl Defined because it's taken you on a little journey. So could you take us back to the very beginning, just the very beginning?
So I recently came out with my second young adult novel called Red. And Red is a YA adaptation of the Scarlet Letter centered around abortion and grooming. So in this book, the main character kind of moves to a new town. She gets involved in the local youth group and the church choir. And when she ends up having an abortion, her friends, you know, turn on her. So in writing the book and kind of starting to draft, you know, I was pulling on my own experience from church, you know, groups. But also I was like, what is it like now for young Christian teens? So I ended up, as one does on YouTube, I came across these young, attractive, charismatic Christian YouTubers. And the video series that I ended up really diving into for research was Girl Defined. So I can launch a little bit into kind of my experience about Girl Defined and then kind of shift into the actual backstory.
Yes, that
So.
would sure.
That would be perfect. And I think also, I guess for the blessedly uninitiated, that means that Girl Defined is referencing this duo,
Yes.
this YouTube
Yes.
duo.
YouTube, that's their brand. And it's
That's
not
their
just
brand.
YouTube. They have a website, they have courses, they have all sorts of things. And I'll talk about that.
Oh, I thought you said horses. I
Oh, they
swear to God.
probably have
And
horses.
you know
I
what?
would, I
Do.
wouldn't be surprised.
I
That's
would not be
some
surprised.
hard horse girl energy.
Oh, the horse girl energy is off the charts. And I feel like there's
Yeah.
going to be horse girls out there like, "Hey, don't
Oh,
put that
yeah.
on me. Don't put that energy on me."
Right?
Well, some horse girls are like Tina from Bob's Burgers, you know, like pure
Yes.
weird girl
Right.
energy. And then some horse girls are like rich horse girl energy. And
Exactly.
it's very
Very
different, I
different
feel.
divide. Yeah.
But it is important to speak to the horse girls in your life just to
To make
establish.
sure that they don't go down the
Just to
wrong path.
establish, you know, sort of political boundaries.
Yes.
But yes, please take us on a journey.
Yes. So I've watched a ton of their videos, and found them really compelling. Like, especially in doing this research, I was really interested in seeing kind of how they were framing like Christian womanhood, modern relationships, and political beliefs in this way that was very accessible for especially like young women. That's really their target audience. And so yeah, I went down this super rabbit hole with them then. So I am very excited to share with you today why I think that they are horrifying.
And
Oh my
you
gosh.
feel comfortable laying that gauntlet down. They are
Yeah.
horrifying.
Oh, definitely. And yeah, I feel like 25% of the time I'm like, man, maybe you guys aren't so bad. Like this is okay. Like
The
this is
branding is
not too
strong.
bad.
The
It's
branding is
so
really strong.
strong.
Yep.
And then they drop something that I'm like, oh no, this is terrible. Please take a step back.
Yep. It's like, what the fuck? Like you think you didn't hear what you heard, you know?
Right. We're just
Because
like,
they're
oh my
speaking
gosh,
in
this
such
is
a
very different.
bubbly, sparkly sort of tone.
Right? And it goes from very positive, like God loves you, to like truly awful stuff.
That's
Yeah.
how they get you.
They
That's how they
do,
draw you
right?
in.
Suddenly you're at a Girl Defined conference and you're like, how did I end up here?
If this story ends with you actively at a Girl Defined
My
conference,
God.
I
No.
would, you're like, I was undercover wearing a big hat.
You know what though? If like a major publication wants to pay me to go undercover, like I will do it.
Guys,
Ooh.
I'm sensing a girls' weekend.
Oh my
I'm
gosh.
sensing
I'm
a
gonna
podcast series
live from Texas.
live from Texas. Girl Redefined. That's what
Oh,
we
I
call it.
love that.
Girl
You're
Redefined.
welcome.
Yes.
You can keep that. That's on me. But yeah, so how does one even begin to talk about them? Like, how would you
Yeah.
define their thing?
So I would say Girl Defined is a Christian lifestyle brand marketed toward young evangelical women. And that brand includes a website, a YouTube channel, which is again how I kind of encountered them. They have a podcast now, they have online courses, they have a conference. So again, like it really kind of expands the whole social media lifestyle experience. On their website, they say that their mission is to help modern girls understand and live out God's timeless truth for womanhood. In a day and age when girls and women receive so many conflicting messages about their value, purpose, and identity, they desperately need to know that the only one who can define them is the one who created them. Through our blogs, videos, conferences, and online webinars, we are building an online sisterhood where girls and women can find the encouragement and answers they're searching for. So again, sounds not terrible, like
Sounds just fine.
just fine.
Yeah. And something so potent, I feel like, about that definition is like that word of like, who defines you? And it's
Yeah.
like, as a young person, like, isn't that
Yeah.
what you're looking for? Is just like,
Right.
okay, what, who am I? What am I? How do
And
I figure my way in this world?
especially when it's like you've already heard of Jesus. Like if you're here, you know who Jesus is.
You've heard of Jesus, you're gonna love us.
Yeah, right. So it is a thing where if you are again like a 13, 14-year-old Christian girl, you're like, oh, okay, this is me. I know I can sign up for this. And the whole thing is run by sisters Bethany Beal and Kristen Clark. They're born and raised in Texas to a big evangelical Christian family. They have other sisters who have appeared in videos, do blog posts and stuff, but Bethany and Kristen are the main faces of Girl Defined. After a less successful site centered around the Baird sisters, that's their maiden name, as a brand, kind of they launched that first. Then they refocused in 2016 and created Girl Defined. One of the blog posts on their site took off, and that was Why Christian Girls Post Seductive Selfies. You might
I'm
wonder
intrigued.
Why, and it's because they're sad, lonely, and insecure.
I'm baited to click, frankly.
There it is.
I get it though.
And from that, they connected with a Christian publishing company and came out with their first book, Girl Defined, God's Radical Design for Beauty, Femininity, and Identity. So, you know, they kind of got launched by blog content like that. They have multiple books out now. And like, you know, we were saying they're pretty and they're blonde and tall and they feel like your super Christian big sisters. They talk about many things that are relatable to many young Christian women, like how to be happy when you don't have a boyfriend, how to deal with your heartache after a breakup, how infertility and loss has strengthened my faith, what I wish I knew going into my first year of marriage. So like stuff that, again, like seems like this is pretty okay. Like, you know, you can come at it from a religious perspective and, you know, have kind of leaning on your faith in hard times and, you know, feeling satisfied in who you are, even though you might feel pressured to, you know, be dating someone, to look a certain way. Maybe you don't feel comfortable with that. So it's like, oh, okay, this seems like pretty good. And, you know, I think that even if that's not your particular belief, I think there is value in a space for like young Christian women who want to hear positive messages about being young and also being loved by God and having like faith as a cornerstone of your life. And that was something that when I was writing Red, like I wanted to have that included. So I didn't want it to be this dichotomy between people who are like pro-choice and like people who are religious and awful. So I wanted the main character in Red to be someone who like really connects to faith and like really struggles with how to have this relationship with God when, you know, her church friends have shamed her, and how to kind of reclaim her faith and her voice. So again, like I think there's a lot of value in reaching like young people who have faith as part of your life. And even Kristen and Bethany and Girl Defined have like kind of acknowledged that purity culture, which was super popular in the 90s and early 2000, like did some damage to young women and how they see sex in their bodies. So it's like, oh, okay, like again, like 25% of the time, your message like sounds pretty good. But unfortunately, then they keep going.
They do, don't they? They
really
do.
They really do.
They keep at it until, gosh darn it, you've gone off the rails.
Yeah, right. And again, you're just like really stunned by some of the offensive stuff they say, or at least I am. Because for every like kernel of an okay idea they have, there are like 10 other harmful ones. For example, they put a lot of emphasis on God's design for women and biblical womanhood. That includes women as being a helper for a man and having a different role in God's eyes than a man does. And, you know, that's very traditional evangelical Christian, a deeply binary view of gender and sexuality. And especially recently, they veered very hard into transphobia and homophobia in a very like Fox Newsy kind of way, where it was like, oh my gosh, there are drag queens at the library. How dare, like, this is going to destroy America.
Ugh. It makes me so mad that like that's just like the topic for everyone now. Like it's like
right.
All of a sudden it's like the worst person you know in every frame of the world is like, I'm actually also very transphobic. And you're like, yeah, of course you are.
Yeah.
Like it
yeah.
just sucks.
I feel like they maybe like they could sense that maybe and capitalized on it a little.
Oh, 100%. I
and
think it started
done well for them.
Right. I think it started getting picked up by, so again, like Fox News, other media outlets that are, you know, more far right. And I think they were like, oh, we're gonna go into that. Like they have a whole video about how they see drag queens as a mockery of God's design for womanhood. So yeah, like that says it all. And they have,
which is frankly how I might define them.
Yeah, right.
In my own faith-based life.
And they also, like, even before that, in their books, which again, I've read a couple of, they include interviews with people who are queer and like, not like, think of that as a sin. And they're like, oh, well, obviously I can't be like attracted to women, so I have to live like holding that back. And I'm like, that is so sad. And they frame it as like, look, someone overcame their gay. How wonderful.
Yeah, someone is embracing God's good design for womanhood.
Right, because women are supposed to be a helper for a man, and that means getting married and having babies and being a support person instead of being an actual human.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I do think that you made a good point before as well about something that I was really interested in when I was snooping around. I was sort of like, I had like a little hat, like a little Sherlock Holmes hat creeping around their YouTube page. The sort of focus on singleness.
Yeah.
Because Bethany, her girl, Bethany.
Oh my God.
She was like, as we all know, I am single. Like that, a lot of the videos would start with, and her married sister would be like, yes, Bethany is in her season of singlehood. And Bethany's like, yeah, I really am. I'm in the season.
Maybe in her mid 20s.
Yeah. Oh, and she God. Was, it was so clear that she was white knuckling it.
Yeah.
She could barely contain herself. But I liked in theory, the idea that somebody was speaking to, like, hey, you don't need to be in a relationship.
Right.
As a
teenager. Yeah.
I don't feel like I heard that a lot as a kid. Like, hey, if all your friends have boyfriends and you don't, like, that's fine.
It doesn't mean that either you're never going to find someone to be in a relationship with, or that just, like, you can be on your own and that's better than being in a relationship with someone you don't like.
And I think that maybe their answer to that was like, but you are in a relationship with someone. Can you guess who?
G-O-D. Yeah, you know me. Yeah.
They're like, it's actually all good. You always have a date to the prom. And then it's like the rest of us are like, yikes. Okay. So all right, fair enough. Now we get where we're going.
And I feel like there's that very like positive kernel where you're like, yeah, it is good to talk to young women about, like, I didn't date anybody like throughout high school. It was just like, I had a lot of friends and a lot of friends who were guys. And it was just like, I didn't have anybody who I wanted to date. And, you know, it was like, oh, wow, you know, other friends have dates to the prom. I'm going to see if a friend will go with me. So it's like, it's nice to hear that it's like, it's okay. You don't have to date a dude just because he's a dude. But then I feel that they also veer into the extreme of very evangelical Christian courtship, where I can't remember if it was both of them or just one of them. Like, maybe it was Bethany, and they like didn't kiss until they got married. It was like, that was their first kiss. And in one video, Bethany and Kristen are talking, and Bethany is like, oh, I remember when you were like, go literally walking to the altar and like get up front. And she, like, Kristen turns to Bethany and she's like, I'm not that attracted to him, but here I go. And I'm like,
yep.
There's like a whole ocean between like, it's okay to be single. Like, that's fine. And like, you should marry someone without actually feeling attraction to them, because they have this bonkers idea of what it means to like be in a body and like have an emotional experience with someone else that isn't like just an emotional experience with Jesus.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I was going to ask. I think the two of you are more familiar with Girl Defined than I am, but that is one clip that I've seen memed is the one like being like, I'm not attracted to him, but we'll see how it goes. And I was going to be like, is that the one who was in her single season of singleness? And she just like,
That was the one who like was married first. And it was just like,
oh no.
yeah. It was like, oh wow, you're setting a bad precedent.
Sam, if you we I was in front of you when you were getting married. If you
True.
had said that to me before you walked down the aisle, I would have yanked you to my car.
Yeah.
I
Absolutely.
would have been like, I think you were all set because you did have a boyfriend in college or in high school, and it was your now husband. But
Yeah, I
I
mean,
think Girl Defined's point
nah.
is you don't have to do that.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say is like I had been dating my now husband for 12 full years before I
Oh
married
my
him.
God.
So if I hadn't been attracted to him that whole time, that would have been an even deeper problem, I think, than if
Oh
I had
yeah.
only known
You're
him for
working
like
a
a week.
crazy long game.
I'm like, just give him 10 more years. He's gonna be hot, I bet.
That sounds just
Don't,
like,
just add it to
I
the
think that also is like a surefire. This is just a gay woman. So
Yeah.
this is just like, I don't think that would have to do with Adam in the slightest. I think that would just be an indicator that you're a gay person and that's fine. I was
Yeah.
just like, I can't seem to figure it out. I can't seem to, really make it happen.
Something about the fact that he's a man is just not working for me, but I'm
Really not.
sure if
Yeah.
I just gave
Not
it a
doing it.
few more
I'm
years.
just gonna go for it, I guess.
Oh my goodness.
So in a similar way, again, they've like mentioned like purity culture did a lot of harm. And they talk about how like sex can be wonderful and great, but only in a heterosexual marriage. And again, like literally, like you can have your first kiss at the altar kind of like boundaries. And so, like Kristen has talked about her addiction to pornography, which I think is probably like erotica. I don't think it's like hard porn.
Ooh.
And her struggles with masturbation, which obviously they see as like wrong and offensive to like God's design of sexuality between a man and a woman. And it's like, oh, there's no sense that like this is maybe not. Like, I mean, maybe it could have been an addiction in a very like literal way where she like was having a problem doing anything else, but it seems more like she was having feelings and like letting herself explore. And it's like, okay, obviously, but we can't have that, even though sex is good, but only in this tiny little window. And that's when God says it's okay. Instead of again acknowledging that you're like a person and you're a person in a body.
Yeah, God. As an avid romance re reader, I'm going to make an unfounded guess right now of what she reads. My
Oh.
guess is that she's into paranormal romance. I bet that she's into like the wolf pack took me and they
I
are
think it's
like,
hard Omegavverse.
oh, it could
Hard.
be.
God.
I'm
But it could
positive of that.
also, but paranormal leaves room for like the vampire lord
Yeah.
took me into his castle and.
Oh, see, you know what? I think I've seen one of their videos about how Christian girls shouldn't celebrate Halloween. So,
Well,
checkmate.
obviously
I don't
that's a
think that's true.
sin. That's a
They would be
sin on
like,
top
that's
of
not godly
sin. Sin on
enough.
sin. Or
Yeah.
it was Ice Planet Barbarians, which I read all of.
Should we send her a couple copies?
I mean,
Kristen from Girl Defined, should we send her bound copies of Ice Planet Barbarians?
I'm sure she's listening. I'll get her.
She'll love
I'll get
this.
her press info, but I also like when you were like she's having struggles with masturbation.
Yeah.
I'm hearing, I am having difficulty masturbating to completion,
No,
basically. Like, and I'm like, fair enough.
I
Like,
think
it's
it's just
complicated down there,
right. But
and I'm sure we can,
I think it's really like she was having struggles because she was doing it, like at
yeah.
all.
That was the struggle. The struggle
Yeah.
was. It's happening, period.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how depraved I am. I'm like, oh, we got to get you like a
It's
vibrator.
like, girl, it's
It just
okay.
seems like
Like,
a super simple fix.
you think it should be easy, but it's not.
Yeah.
Like, we just want to help.
Is it appropriate for me to plug our Adam and Eve affiliate link?
Right here. This is
AdamandEve.com.
we're gonna cut to a commercial.
Are you in your season of singlehood? Or in your season of marriage?
Yeah.
How does God feel about, actually, no, that's going to be a different podcast. I just was like, yeah, never mind. but yeah, so I'm so sorry. Oh. Where were we?
Oh, no. So you have to be like completely sexually inactive before marriage, and then you go to town. Mm-hmm. And again, no sense of like, I mean, they do talk about how, oh, you know, it might not be great to start with. You might need to get to know your partner and like they, you know, get to know what you like, you get to know what they like. And again, like all that stuff is good, but it's in this frame of it can only happen after you get married, after doing absolutely nothing with your body. And they also, something they say about sexuality is we're all sexually broken. We're all impure. And right, like it feels like something that they think sounds really like affirming and comforting instead of it being like, no, honey, that's just, you're all just people. Like you are just a human in a body. It does not mean that you are broken. Like it's just that you are experiencing the world as a physical human. So yeah, it just like shames everyone for having a sexual feeling instead of acknowledging that like this is part of living in the world. And like,
it's so dark. I feel like it's even worse than saying it's wrong, don't do it. It's like you are sexually broken.
Right.
There is something that is deeply broken about you.
Yeah.
But it's okay because we all deal with the same thing.
Yeah, we're all broken and sad in this way. But don't worry, Jesus will help you. Instead of it being like, no, God, like if you believe in God and Jesus, like you were made as a person, like that is also part of like God's design. So like, why are you like all broken inside? Because maybe you had like a sexual thought or urge or something, or like kissed someone sometime. Like it just, yeah, I feel like it goes from like, oh, okay. Like this, here's the thing. Like, oh, maybe purity culture wasn't great. And you know, sex can be good, but then it's like, oh, you veered very hard, right? Like we needed a gentle right, and you just went off the road.
Yeah.
And of course, kind of related to that, they are also very down on birth control, which they frame as being like damaging to your body, and you know, something that is really harmful versus something that thousands of women take safely every day. And it's, you know, something that is not the right choice for everyone, but it should be just like a conversation that you have with your doctor about your options. And, you know, similar for abortion, where, you know, they talk about how like emotionally damaging and physically dangerous it is, while also not talking about how emotionally damaging and physically dangerous it is to be pregnant and have a child.
And I even think that I would be cool. I mean, I guess they don't care what I'm cool with, but they've proven that. But like, I do feel like maybe if you were something that I would love to see is a space for the, I'm sure, very, very many faith-based people who have had abortions.
Yeah.
I am sure many, many women have been in that position and are struggling with that.
Mm-hmm.
And have a lot of guilt and shame to work through. Not that they should, but I can only imagine
that
that's the case for so, so many people. And the idea that there could be a place for those people to talk about it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To come to whatever conclusions they want to come to,
right,
would be so great. That would be such a positive force.
And especially when they're framing abortion as something that like, if you end up having an abortion, it's because you were sexually promiscuous, you were, you know, not being respectful to your body, you were putting yourself in harm's way, you were shaming God or whatever. Instead of, and thinking of it, I think more like, oh, young women like being loose, mm-hmm. versus the reality where most abortions are for women who have already had children. So they might actually be in these committed heterosexual relationships. And it's just someone thinking, I am pregnant again. I cannot have another child. Like we cannot afford it. I, you know, cannot do that now based on what had, you know, happened in previous pregnancies. So it's something they never talk about, the nuance that actually occurs for, again, the many people who have abortions and it is the right choice for them. and for their families. And they're just looking at it as this like narrow scope of, oh, the worldly world, and everyone is just running around doing girls gone wild and hooking up, and that's why they're going to get an abortion, instead of acknowledging that it is something that is, you know, personal and can be really complex, and is also something that it should be a conversation with the person and their doctor, and, you know, any loved one that they want to talk to. So yeah, it's just like they're spreading misinformation, and it's so frustrating.
Yeah, and such common, like, the bullshit that everyone spews, them just to, like, in a kinder voice to a more vulnerable audience.
Right. Yeah. And to have these, again, like, probably, you know, 12, 13 to, you know, 16 year old girls hearing this, and maybe ending up in that situation someday, and kind of having that voice in the back of their head and feeling shame for it, instead of, like Allie was saying, having space to kind of talk about their feelings in relation to faith and, you know, how they're making this decision, and how to feel like they can still take part in, you know, religious community after that.
There's a very sinister dissonance, I feel like, between the brand that they have crafted and what you just described, which I think you described it perfectly, kind of the stance that they take. But something you kind of can't imagine unless you watch those videos is the way they put it is so odd, because they're so peppy and they're so like, you know, Jesus loves you, and we are just so excited to praise the Lord. And it's like, great.
And we're just coming out of this from the goodness of our hearts.
Yeah. And it's like, they're talking about that in that tone. And it's like, but if you stray from God's good design, then you will be broken forever. Like, it's just this sort of weird sing-songy, I don't even know what to call it. I don't even know. I feel like I don't have words for how deftly they weave in the more, the darker parts of what they have to
and
say.
Again, like, I feel like that kind of messaging is, it's not like coming out very hard, like, we are anti-abortion, we're anti-drag queen, like, very aggressive about it. It's like weaved in between, again, like, how to be happy that you don't have a boyfriend, or when you don't have a boyfriend. And, you know, like, the sisters have talked about dealing with infertility and miscarriages. And I feel like that's so wonderful to talk about, you know, especially as young women who, you know, viewers have seen, like, pre-marriage, get married, and, you know, now have kids in various ways. So there's, again, like, it's coming from this weird place where it's all pastel and friendly and warm and inviting. And then talking about these, like, really real subjects, and then mixing in this, like, homophobia, transphobia, like, sexism and misogyny. Real misinformation. It's very disturbing.
Are we selling you, Sam, a little more?
Yeah, they sound great.
Yeah.
No, I mean, obviously awful, and even another level of awful that the market is like, or the intended audience is not like all of us who are, you know, have more life experience and can more easily parse like what is true to us and what's not. And instead the audience, the intended audience, is much younger and much more in need of positive figures telling them what to do and what's going on.
Yeah.
And also, like, the fragility of that demographic, you know, young women who are experiencing sexuality for the first time, who are transitioning in their bodies in lots of ways, who are coming to know their feelings about themselves, about gender, about sexuality, about all of this. Like, it is such a for men also, for anyone, for any person, like, that's just such a fragile time.
Yeah.
And you're so scrambling to find the right answer. And they just say it with such confidence.
Right.
Like, if you do this, you are forsaking the word of the Lord. That's just the way it is. And it's like that. It sounds like an answer. It sounds like that's the answer.
And like you said, the packaging is so cute and pretty and upbeat and bright. Like it
millennial
doesn't
pink.
Very Christian girl autumn. It doesn't feel threatening at all. It doesn't feel damaging at all. It feels like you're in the cool Christian girl sorority. And it's so insidious.
Need a break from the horrifying reality of real life? Well, do we have a sexy deal for you?
Go to adamandeve.com and use our special code HORROR for 50% off almost any item and free shipping. That's HORROR at checkout for 50% off and free shipping. Order now and get ready to...
So I'm very excited for all of us to infiltrate their conference.
That will be
take
amazing.
Them down from the inside.
Do you know anything about the conference? Like what happens there? I don't know if you got what you needed from everything else.
I definitely did not sign up for the conference.
Oh no, fair enough.
I think it's very like, you know, TED Talks kind of thing. You know, they might do like workshops about, they can lead these various topics. You know, I know they have like devotionals and, you know, journals for girls. So I think they do some of that work as well. But yeah, I think it's something where they're like, oh, get like your like youth group friends and like all come to this thing, or like get, you know, your sisters and all come and try to make it like a big group activity. I feel it's like, oh, do you guys know Rachel Hollis?
Oh, yes.
So I feel like her, like she's like girl. The adult version of that. Yeah. Like she's like, girl, you're defined.
Christ. Even Rachel Hollis, like she's ridiculous. I think she is also Christian, but I feel like she has a little more.
Yeah. She's not like,
she's
like
a little more progressive.
So, yes.
Sure.
She is definitely like, if there was, like Girl Defined on one end and like a Brené Brown on the other, Rachel Hollis is like more in the middle.
Yeah.
But I think like similar conference-y
vibes. But the branding is
Definitely. Oh, and also just a fun fact at the end here. They're related to Nazis.
What?
So that's fun. So Bethany and her husband, like maybe a couple of years ago at this point, went to Germany on a vacation because like Germany is beautiful. Bethany was like, oh, we have family here, or like we had family here. And they, you know, shared a bunch of pictures on Instagram and like, you know, it was like, oh, beautiful German town, like beer garden, like all the, you know, classic stuff. And they took a picture with this tombstone. And she's like, oh, this is like the town, you know, my grandmother grew up in. Here's like my grandfather's gravestone. And the internet was like, honey, your grandfather was a Nazi mayor. Like, literally. And then it was just like, maybe you don't post that one on Instagram.
And they're like, psych, joke's on you. All of our grandfathers were Nazi mayors. We're 4 for 4. Or you only get 2.
Nailed it.
The grandma's also. I don't think you get a Nazi grandpa without a Nazi grandma. Do you know what I mean? They come in a set.
Yeah, I think unless you were going deep undercover, like that doesn't work.
Too that deep. Sounds like a that personally, that sounds like a great book. If you're looking for something else, is a secretly progressive communist spy who's married to a Nazi mayor.
Oh my god, and then she's murdering everyone.
Yeah, this story has everything.
Oh, I love that.
I was gonna say only if she gets to like kill him at the end with some kind of schnitzel
device. It would be like every you know officer or whatever who comes to the house and she's like, oh, here's my schnitzel, and they like she poisons it, and she can do it in a way where it's like maybe she found some mushrooms where it's like, oh, these will kill you like 3 days later and no one ever knows it's me.
Better and better ideas coming from this podcast, Annie. Please.
Oh, and she's stealing the secrets and like getting them to the allies. Oh, love it.
Speaking of storytelling and you weaving stories, I would love to hear how one informed the other, because I'm really so excited about this like idea of breaking into that topic with nuance. But also, I'm curious, like, what came first for you? The story that you wanted to tell, or the branding that you saw and the videos and media that you saw?
I mean, definitely the story. I think for that, you know, I read Scarlet Letter in high school and I was very upset that Hester Prynne didn't just immediately be like, it's this dude right here. Like I didn't get pregnant on my own. It's this guy. And so like years later, I was like, oh, like what would like a Scarlet Letter retelling me? And when I realized, I'm like, oh, the A would be abortion, like that, you know, it's so divisive, and especially in religious society. So I was like, oh, I really like this idea. And so again, like when I was kind of framing the story, I did want to have the main character be someone who connected with faith. And, you know, again, it wasn't just like one side is good, one side is bad, but a character who like wanted to engage with like a higher power and a faith community, while also like making this decision that is the right decision for her. And so kind of in, you know, again, looking back at like, okay, what, you know, what are Christian teens today doing? Hey kids, like what are the cool things that we are up to? And finding Girl Defined, like that was something that for me was very kind of inspirational for some of her youth group friends. And you know, like at least one in particular where I was like, oh, she would definitely watch Girl Defined and be like, I'm, you know, I go to church, I am a good girl, I live by the rules. And this is what you do. And having, you know, that character, kind of come to Jesus moment, in realizing that like, oh, maybe my friend is going through something complicated and isn't just like a terrible person. So yeah, like I wanted to kind of take that inspiration and use again, like that really friendly, warm, like cozy, like bright, happy packaging for a character who thinks of like, oh, I'm just hearing all these messages. And that seems like the very correct and very easy answer. And so like, I'm signing up for this. This is the way I live my life. I, you know, make sure I have my camisole under a top that's, you know, maybe a little too low. And she is, you know, a supporting character, but again, has someone who like is also kind of struggling with how does someone make this decision when I know this person, I thought she was a good person. So like how to kind of move away from the Kristen Bethany-ness of it to understanding how the world can be more nuanced.
And the great thing about that is that so much of that is truly a tale as old as time, which is a woman or women deciding what womanhood is for them. And then deciding that that is, by definition, what womanhood is.
Right.
And I think that is so, like, it doesn't even have to be womanhood. Like, it's, you know, that's how these things start. That's how everything starts. That's how all sort of, all these schisms happen, is somebody decides that their experience is the definitive, the defined, if you will, experience, and offers that definition as an objective truth. And it's just like, hey, it's not me. And they say a lot. I noticed this. They say a lot and will lean on, this isn't us talking. This is the word of God.
Right.
We don't decide. It's not that I don't like gay people. I'm not going to say how I feel about gay people. I'm going to say,
I'm just following this.
Yeah. I am going to go to God's word, which is how they would put it. Like they're like, the design for womanhood is in God's word. And that is all that we need. And that's, and so in a way they sort of take a back road and are like, well, this isn't us defining it. God has defined it. God defined, frankly. Yeah.
It's such like a passive way of enacting your judgment on people. Like it's such like, it's coming from a place where it's like, well, it's not me, but you are going to hell. Like
it's like, I also watched a lot of TikTok, obviously. And, you know, people do kind of videos about like the character of, you know, very like youth groupy people. And they'll be like, oh, you know, God has like put this on my heart to talk to you. And it's never like, I wanted to tell you, you look like a fugly slut. It's like, God put this on my heart and it's really been weighing on me. And I need just to share that God thinks you're a fugly slut. Like, and I think that's the way they're doing it.
Yeah, there's some great Christian or ex-Christian. A lot of them are still Christian influencers doing those characters, you know, and they still have a faith-based life, but they're like, I see this trope all the time of, you know, the sort of Christian Regina George.
Yeah.
Mean Girls is everywhere. It's permeating my brain.
Really is. I was just imagining like Jesus in a frantic sitting down, ripping a picture in half. This girl is a fugly slut. Do not
trust her.
And it's Judas.
Oh my God. Is that not what happened?
This is the crossover between Mean Girls the Musical and Jesus Christ Superstar. Yeah,
that we've all been waiting for.
Obviously.
Let us return to God's word and find out what really happened here. My God.
That's been my girl defined experience. Part of me wants to be like, you should go look at the videos yourself and really experience this, but also don't do it.
I think you nailed it. I think you definitely captured it. So we don't need to give them that.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Don't make YouTube give them money.
Or you can maybe go on TikTok and see little clippies.
Yes.
That doesn't go to them.
There you go.
And people clipping it are probably like, this is bananas.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I really like, there's another YouTuber, like Fundy Fridays.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Fundy Fridays is great.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, you do the deep dive for me. And I'm just going to watch you now.
She's done some great deep dives on a lot of sinister evangelical families and reality shows and things like that. And I also want to just make it very clear, like, being evangelical is not sinister in the slightest. It's just that this, like, I think it's also like kind of offensive as somebody who does have a faith-based life, like, you know, something of a faith-based life, you know, acting like this is what faith is. That's not right.
I mean, it's very like capitalism as faith. You know, again, whether you're on TLC and selling your family, or, you know, you have a YouTube channel, like, it is very much using your faith for money, for fame. And that is easier when you tell people that you have the right way to do things and there is one right way, versus we can have a nuanced conversation about faith and modern life and, you know, difficult choices and really terrible situations and how you can hold, you know, belief in a higher power and also see terrible trauma and like how to hold both of those at the same time. That's just not as like fun or cute packaging. But it's something I enjoy.
Yeah. And if you enjoy that too, check out Red by Anna Hardy.
Yeah. Read my book for trying to hold different ideas in your head about faith and abuse and hope and trauma. It's available at any place books are sold.
Yeah, Annie, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us. I just can't wait to dive in and like, I really do want to go back and watch some of these YouTube videos now. So I'm going to have to boot up TikTok. But it's really exciting to see this really black and white thinking pulled into a piece of art that makes it gray and offers us the gray, because that's where everything interesting is. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that. And I, you know, recommend that everybody go check out Red. It's already out, right?
Yeah, it's in stores, it's on the internet, or you can check it out from your library. You don't even have to buy it. Like,
that's a good point.
You know, love your librarians.
Yes, download the Libby app and
Libby.
Go get it from the library and have a drag queen read it to you.
Wouldn't that be great?
Do you think they could do that? I think that they could.
You'd have to bring a lot of ones for tips. It is a novel, so.
Yeah. You got to come prepared.
It's a few sessions, maybe. It's a few Saturdays at the library.
I love that.
Chapter by chapter.
Drag Queens for Teens.
I love that.
Annie, thank you so, so much for your time and for your work.
Yes. And thank you, listeners, for joining us today. Until next time, bye-bye, horror honeys.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
I'm Horrified is a Hemlock Creatives production, recorded and produced by us, Sam Bierstow and Allie Gavin, in Boston, Massachusetts. Our art is by Leah Brilliard and Allie Gavin. You can find us on Twitter at I'm Horrified Pod and at I'mHorrifiedPodcast.com. And you can tell us what horrifies you at I'mHorrifiedPodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to support us directly on Patreon, you can get our podcast early and ad-free, as well as bonus episodes of our members-only minicasts, I'm Thrilled! Check us out at patreon.com/I'mHorrified. And if you liked hanging out with us, tell your friends, share us on your socials, and leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for stopping by, Horror Honeys.